I want you to pretend something with me for just a few minutes. Let's say that you and I went to a restaurant together. We went out to lunch together. And you loved onion rings. And maybe you do, so this is easy for you. I do. But let's say we got there and you ordered your onion rings and I ordered a little something too, and it was an appetizer, and it came and you got your plate of onion rings and it was just a mound of onion rings. A lot of big, thick ones on the top with all that fried batter on them, all that grease dripping down. Oh, you're getting hungry. You're ready to get home, huh? And my food hadn't come yet, but you received your onion rings, and I was just looking at it, and you began to eat, and you knew I loved onion rings, too. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, so-and-so, you know your name. I said, can I have one, or can I have a couple? And you said, yeah, sure, hold on just a couple of minutes. And you kept on eating. And then I waited another 2 or 3 minutes, and you said, I'm getting there. And then you scooted some aside, and you found two of those baby ones that you get down at the bottom. Some of them, they don't even have a hole in the middle. It's just that little onion slice that's fried. You said, here you go. How do you think I'd feel? And I'd eat them, but... How do you think I'd feel? Let's jump back just a second. Let's say you did something different. Same story, same scenario. You got your food. I've been waiting. But actually, I didn't have to wait very long at all. You got that and you said, I'm sorry, yours isn't out yet. And what if I said, can I have one or a couple? You said, yeah, sure. And what if you looked at that plate and you saw the two or three biggest ones that were right there on the top with that thick batter on them? They're about that big around. And he said, yeah, here you go, Derek. You got those three biggest ones and hand it to me. It'd be a lot different, wouldn't it? I'd probably be like, oh, you don't have to give me those. You can give me some of the smaller ones, you know. Whole different picture, isn't it? If you love someone, you give to them. You give them gifts. You sacrifice for them. You give them offerings. Well, in the first instance, I'd say that was an unacceptable sacrifice that you made for me. But in the second instance, I'd say, oh, that was a beautiful sacrifice. Just brought joy to my heart. Just made me react to you like my kids did that day. I just wanted to respond back to you in love. Let me ask you a question. What is worship? What is worship? We talk about worship. We're in a worship service right now. We talk about worshiping the living God, the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity, God, the God of the Bible, who is one God but exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each person being fully God. The Bible teaches that that's who He is. That's how God's revealed Himself. And we speak of worship of Him. Well, what is that? I remember that was asked in a seminary class I had. It was a class on worship. Chris. And I remember there was about 20 different answers. Everybody raising their hand, well, it's like this and this and it's this. And there are multiple definitions, many, many ways to define worship. Just a couple that I like. One is meeting with God, to meet with God. Another one, worship is when you focus and you set your mind's attention and your heart's affection on the Lord. In this case, if you're worshiping the Lord, having a focused mind and your heart's affection, focusing your mind's attention and your heart's affection on the Lord, that's worship. Well, Worship many times involves giving. If we express our love through giving, He who has given us everything, God who has given His life for you and for me, well, in our worship response, that's one thing we want to do is give. We want to give back to the Lord. And so we make offering. We give offerings and we give tithes and we give ourselves, our time, our talents, our resources, and we serve the Lord. We give Him service. All these things are response to His love for us. They're all a part of worship. Well, I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to give Him an unacceptable offering or sacrifice, do you? I want my worship, I want my sacrifice and offering to be an acceptable offering to the Lord. So how do you give or have an acceptable sacrifice? How do you give an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord? Let's pray together. Father, we want to do this with this service and with our lives. We want to give You acceptable offerings and sacrifices. We want to pour out our love to You in our service, our giving, surrendering our very lives to You, giving all that we have because You gave all that You have. Lord, teach us to do this. Help us to do this. And Lord, we need to hear from You right now and not Derek. Lord, get me out of the way. Help us to hear the voice of Jesus. Speak to our hearts now through this message and through Your holy ordinance, this Lord's Supper that You've ordained that we remember You and help us in this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 quickly. Those of you that are new, you'll find it as soon as you open the Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, first book of the Bible. And we're going to see here an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord and an unacceptable sacrifice to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 4, God tells us this, verses 1 through 7. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." How do you give an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord? One way that we can make sure that we're offering an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord is to be prepared for worship. If you want to offer your worship to the Lord, one of the ways we can offer an acceptable sacrifice is to be prepared. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready for worship? When you came through these doors this morning and you found your seat here in the sanctuary, were you ready to worship? Were you prepared? Did you come here to this place ready? We need to take a self-inventory. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves that question. Because good worship, a good acceptable sacrifice to the Lord requires some preparation. Do some prep work to worship the Lord, to offer an acceptable sacrifice. There's a sweet lady I love that I had the privilege of ministering to, Miss Gertha Whiting. She was in her late 80s, and she was under hospice care, and I was her chaplain. And I got to visit with her every Friday morning. She lived on the south side of Montgomery. And we had the best time together just worshiping the Lord. We'd meet together many times, at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And we'd just look at Scripture together. And we'd just talk, and sometimes we'd sing, and we'd pray together. And the Lord used her in my life in many ways. Every time I left there, I always hoped that the Lord had ministered to her because the Lord had ministered to me every time I left there. And one of the things she said to me and taught me in some of those visits was to prepare for worship. Her church was Hutchinson Street Missionary Baptist Church, and she said, anytime before I ever go there, she said, I spend some time praying, and I pray that we'd all have unity, and I pray for the people, and I pray before I get there. And she gave me a list of things, and I used to bring my journal over to her house, and anytime the Lord's speaking to me, I want to be writing it down in a journal. And I remember writing these different things, some of the things she would do to prepare for worship. But she took that step. She would prepare for worship. You need to do some prep work to offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. I need to do some prep work. Let's take that word, P-R-E-P, prep, as an attempt to help you remember a couple of these. And a good, acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, first of all, involves P, passion for God. To offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, you need a passion for God. You see, Cain had an unacceptable sacrifice. Did you notice that it said that he worked the field and he brought some of the fruits of the soil to the Lord? Didn't sound like all that much, just some of the fruits of the soil. He had harvested these plants and he brought some of them to the Lord. But you know, it was void of passion. You don't see a passion for God with Cain. You don't see that he got the best of the soil and the best of his plants and offered the Lord those top three onion rings, so to speak. You just don't see Cain doing that in this instance. It says that he offered some of the fruits of the soil to the Lord. I think Cain lacked a passion for God. Whereas Abel, on the other hand, had a passion for God. Did you notice that Abel's sacrifice, which was acceptable, it said that he brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So he took the best of his flock, and then he got the best portions of the best of his flock and gave that to the Lord. Because his passion for the Lord drove him. He loved the Lord. And his sacrifice was acceptable. Do you have a passion for God? Do you love the Lord? Is that why you're here this morning? Ask yourself that question. Why did I come to worship this morning? Is it because that's my habit? I always do. I just strolled in here. It's my normal routine. Or was it a passion for God? Was it because it doesn't matter, nothing was going to hold you back? Rain, shine, work. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what tempts you to not worship. I don't know what tempts you to come and worship, to keep you from coming and worshiping the Lord. I don't know what it is for you. But what was it that brought you here this morning? Was it a passion, a love for God? That's what it needs to be. If we want our worship to be acceptable to the Lord, have a deep love for Him. How do you get that? Just find out how much He loves you. Just spend some time in His presence. Just spend time reading His Word, talking to Him. Realize, begin to understand how much He loves you and how much He's given for you. You'll just want to love Him back. You can pray about that. God will give you a passion, a hunger for Him. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Do you have a passion for God? Secondly, are you in a right relationship with others? That's our R. to offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, you need to be in right relationship with others. How are your relationships? Is there anybody that there's something wrong there? There's something gone haywire, something's wrong in the relationship? How are you with your brothers and sisters in Christ? How are you with the different relationships in your life? Well, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be in fellowship. All of us together, we need unity and fellowship and peace in the Spirit. That's God's will and His desire. God hates dissension and division and people who stir up trouble, especially in the church. How are your relationships? We need to be in right relationship. This past week, I thought, I was probably wrong, but I thought somebody might have something against me. And it was at night. And I knew, you know, there's two kinds of worship. There's personal worship, just you and the Lord, where you offer your worship and you just spend time with the Lord and you go to that altar whenever you do that, and you just you and Him. You get alone with the Lord and you worship Him through His Word and through prayer. And then there's corporate worship, where we all gather together and we worship Him. Well, I knew the next morning I was going to be in personal worship. I knew I was about to go and worship the Lord in the morning. And something in my spirit was just saying, oh, this person might have something against me. And you know, it led me straight to Matthew chapter 5. And I read in Matthew chapter 5. And there Jesus says, if you go to the altar to bring your gift, to bring your worship, so to speak, if you go to the altar to bring your gift, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there on the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift to the Lord. God shows us His priority there. He says it's more important that you be in right relationship with those in your life than you come and worship Me. God says, leave the altar. Leave here before you worship. Go and make sure you're reconciled to your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. Well, I knew I needed to call right then because I was going to worship the Lord in the morning. I didn't want to have to call early in the morning and wake somebody up. So I went ahead and called and just talked to this person. Just talked it out. And there was nothing there. Everything was fine. And we had a wonderful conversation. And things are great. Things are fantastic. But that's God's will. That's His desire. How are your relationships right now? Do you need to leave the gift and be reconciled and come back? Next, the E stands for examine yourself. Examine yourself. Look at verse 7. God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Examine yourself. Sin is at your door. It's crouching down. That wasn't just for Cain. That's advice for all of us. Sin is always near us. It's always one step away. The enemy is real. He desires to have us. He desires to steal, kill, and destroy from us. Examine yourself. We spent a few moments in prayer just a little while ago, allowing the Lord to search us and show us anything. Lord, is there anything I need to confess to You? And thank the Lord for 1 John 1:9. That if we agree with Him about whatever it is, whatever we need to confess to Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord. All you have to do is agree with Him and He restores you. That confession. And then finally, the P stands for purge the sin. Purge the sin. Well, after we've examined ourselves, after we've prayed like the prayer in the Psalms, oh Lord, search me and know me. Search all my anxious thoughts. Show me any wicked way that's within me, Lord. when we allow Him to search us and then He shows us some ugly stuff about ourselves, and then we agree with Him and we confess it. Well, we need to leave it too. We need to confess it and we need to repent and turn from it. We need to go away from it. I'm reminded of John chapter 8 when Jesus didn't condemn the woman that was caught in sin. She had been caught in the very act of adultery. And we're going to look at it tonight. I hope you'll be back tonight. We'll look at John chapter 8. But she had sinned and no one condemned her after something Jesus had said. Everybody left, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Where are your accusers?" And they were all gone. Jesus said, "Has anybody condemned you?" And she said, "No, no one." And He said, "Neither do I condemn you." But then He said, "But go and leave your life of sin." So after we examine ourselves, we need to confess it. And we're forgiven, we're clean, but we need to purge the sin. We need to drop it. We need to go and sin no more. By the power of the Spirit, let that sin go. Only God's help can help us to do that. Well, I hope that you've made preparation for worship, or as you've heard this, that you're preparing your heart right now, because we're about to have the Lord's Supper. And we need to have that prep work done in our hearts and in our lives before we take the Lord's Supper. In a few moments, if you are a baptized believer, if you're a baptized follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are invited to participate in this supper, the Lord's Supper. This is an open communion, and that just means if you're a baptized believer, follower of Christ, we invite you to participate in His supper. However, hear this. Each one of us must examine ourselves, as the E just said. We need to examine ourselves. We need to confess any sin. Just confess it to the Lord. Just between you and the Lord, we need to confess any sin so that we might not be guilty of what the Scripture calls taking the supper in an unworthy manner. God warns us of that. He says, don't take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So we need to spend a little time confessing our sins, and we can do that as we pray, as we hold the bread, as we hold the cup. But this may be you this morning. If there's a relationship that needs to be restored, if there's a relationship where you have bitterness or unforgiveness, just pass the supper on. Just let the supper go on to the next person. You don't want to be guilty of taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner.